come out. The walk away hashtag was started by a gay hairdresser in New York City. So we're seeing so many people pop up. And as I said, this is just the beginning. I really do believe we are seeing the end of the Democratic Party as we know it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
It is time for the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. We have smiles on our face because we just are that way.
That's just how we are.
That's the way we are.
Very, very riveting of you. Listen, folks, I am Mike Hewitt. My co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. A little bit of a different show format today, kind of a special, if you will. Title of it, Unintended Political Consequences. And I added, of course, because I think it's important to understand. So we've got a very big, long list of unintended consequences. Frankly, a couple of them might be slightly funny. Some of them may surprise you. Some of them you may have heard before. But the kind of the theme of the show is just to say, let's pause and think about some of this stuff. Let me start with one that isn't on the list, guys, just because that's how I roll. Ludwig's rolling his eyes. Abortion. I don't want to get into the topic of abortion. I'm not taking a position on it in this episode. But I will tell you that an unintended consequence of it, in my belief, how I see it, is that it has changed how we see moms and dads and children in the family structure itself. The dialogue, the discourse in the political arena that resulted from that. Forget the topic of abortion. I think everyone can guess where I'm at on that. That aside, I think the unintended consequence was to reinvent the family. Next on the list, Miles Bauer, you threw one at us, the gas guzzler and luxury tax of the first Bush era. What say you on that topic, Miles Bauer?
Yeah, so it was intended to milk the rich right around the time when the Cold War ends. And as you recall, the Democrats were trying to cash in on the peace dividend.
Right.
Because they wanted to upgrade the infrastructure of the United States. Right. Their feeling was that we had dedicated so many funds to fighting the Cold War that it was now time to look inward.
Right.
Interesting, in this era.
This is the gas guzzler and luxury tax you're describing, correct?
Right.
Okay.
This is what led the way. And one of the ways they were going to milk the rich is that they were going to go after and put taxes on large yachts and large luxury mobiles.
Right.
Unfortunately, what we found out a year or so later is that it did not milk the rich. They just went out of country, and that it wiped out the domestic industry.
See,
because
now,
nobody was buying anything domestically.
See, let me tell you my vantage of it, and then we'll have to move because this list is huge. But listen, folks, just so you know, the background of the gas guzzler and luxury tax is at the time I was the vice president of a company that's now gone. It was National Coach Engineering. It was a limousine manufacturing company. My view of it was that the gas guzzler and the luxury tax were classic classism. It was designed to punish rich folks for being rich. The only problem with that is that the huge lion's share The overwhelming lion's share of the folks that were purchasing limousines were taxicab drivers. They were buying them to be self-employed, and they were doing airport runs, and they were doing proms, and they were doing weddings, and that's what they were making a living off of them. So the numbers of folks that were in the Mike Ilitch level, one of my customers, was really small. But the effect of it was they wiped out a little over 100 companies and all of the employees that belonged to those companies, and they literally didn't collect enough tax to pay for the administration of the tax itself. They did the same thing to the yachting industry because the goal was classism. We're going to pay those rotten buggers back for being successful. And by the way, the very people that advanced that didn't want to be seen in an ostentatious car, meaning a limousine, so they had their custom limousines built so that the average eye wouldn't recognize that the car had been stretched 28-plus inches. I know that for a fact because I helped build them. And it was such a hoot, and the hypocrisy was staggering. The advent of the third-party payer system. Ludwig, your turn in the bucket. Third-party payer system, you know what I'm talking about with that number?
I would assume you're talking about insurance companies.
Healthcare?
Yes.
Yeah, so imagine this. Imagine the concept, folks. Take your minds back to the 1960s. Okay, before then, if you wanted a doctor, you'd go to the doctor, you'd pay the doctor. And if the doctor took a chicken and trade, he'd take a chicken and trade, literally. And they made house calls, and they provided services. They had bedside manner, or they didn't make it in the business. Then we segued to an easier way of doing business called the third-party payer system. Folks, you could have sat down and predicted the result of it in advance. Because as soon as you take the customer out of the equation, the moment you take the customer out of the equation, guess what happens? Ludwig, got a guess?
Service goes down and prices go up?
Magic. And the only way to solve that problem is to even widen the gap between customer and service provider. That means the government's going to step in and help. And the result of that is we've went from 5% of the average income for health care costs to over 40%. And then I'll have people say, oh, Mike, that's stupid, because back then they didn't have any technology. Well, they did open-heart surgery on me.
We'd probably be more advanced in technology if we didn't.
If we'd have kept government out, if we'd have kept the customers in, life would have been a lot better. It's just math. And the unintended consequence is we've got less service, less bedside manner. You've got very little doctors reaching out and doing home service for elderly, et cetera. Wow. Was that as predictable as rain? I've got on here winning World War II. Miles, help me. Any idea what the unintended consequence of winning that war was?
Would that be because we decided to be the defense for most of Western Europe?
Yeah, and most of the world, other than Asia, most of the world, we've become the galactic overlords because we won. And like we talked about a week or so ago, the other byproduct of that is that we've been in rebuild mode of Europe for 70-plus years now. We've never. That's why it's one of a few reasons, because you've got Trump himself on this list somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I submit to you that one of the reasons that Trump won is because there's a lot of folks saying, oh, stop it. I'm tired of defending a country that hates us, and I can't find it on the map anyhow. What are we doing?
And we're so bad at stopping things. We just, in Michigan at least, stopped prevailing wage, which is a law as a result of the Civil War, Reconstruction right. In the South. So it's really no surprise that the unintended consequences here, we end up defending the rest of the world and rebuild most of it.
How about winning the Cold War? Because it's even worse. They tell us that we won the Cold War. We'll debate that another show. But assume we won the Cold War. Miles, what's the downside to winning the Cold War? Were any unintended consequences from that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we covered one of them, right, where we had the Democrats come in and say, well, now we need to focus on infrastructure and that we've got a peace dividend. Yet when you think back to that point where we were not in as much debt as we are today,
right,
how could there be a dividend when we're running a deficit?
Right. I'll go you a step further. I agree exactly with that. My final point would, on this topic at least, would be that we've got a generation coming up that, and we're going to get into the numbers somewhere before today's up, but we've got a generation that has no clue what totalitarianism looks like.
They're actually advocating for its economic engine that drove the Soviet Union off the curb and into the ditch. We don't have the common enemy, and we're trying to emulate what we beat, what we succeeded over, and now we've got a fairly significant swath of the young generation that's going, jeepers, how come we can't be like that? Folks, that is a nightmare right now in the making, right before us. We're watching that unfold.
Isn't it kind of like saying we're winning the war on terror, and then when you go get on a plane, you feel like you're the terrorist?
I think that's right, but that's the terrorist thing with the TSA feeling you up.
Yeah,
and you go, wait a minute, I thought we won.
Yeah, we're winning this war. Yeah, we look like we lost.
Oh yeah, now Ben Franklin, everyone gets to hear me say this about once a month, but or Miles, one of the two of us is going to say it about trading liberty for a little security will get you neither one. Some of the things that we talk about it in the sense or from the vantage point, folks, it's so obvious. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access the top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is the Mike Hewitt Show, proudly brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. When you got a minute or two or three or an hour, take a look, RenegadeRiver.com.
Absolutely do that. Folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt. My co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski, and today we're talking unintended consequences. Listen, folks, right before we went to the break, Ludwig kind of took us into a slightly different direction. You got to see his face.
Oh my God, I thought it was right on path.
Winning the war on terror.
Yeah.
Did we win the war on terror?
No, I
didn't know that, so you took me by surprise.
I think a lot of times I feel like we're losing it when I'm going to the airport.
Yeah.
I'm getting felt up by the TSA.
Sure.
And I'm going, we're so fearful to do anything. We have to have the TSA and all this. I don't think we're winning. I think that was the point of terrorism.
Right. And it terrorized us.
And look what we got.
Right.
What this is winning? What is losing?
I don't know. We've touched on that often because I'm such a... I push back so hard on the TSA that, to me, it's a inept, disgusting existence.
And that's where I think the unintended consequence comes from, that policy on the war on terror.
Miles, are we winning the war on terror? Did we win it? Have we lost it? How do you appraise our current status?
I would say that we're probably still fighting it. I don't think it's over.
Well, I'm not convinced it will ever be over because there's always going to be a wing nut or a moon bat somewhere. And if you got rid of all the firearms in the world, somebody would shoot you with a gun. I don't know if folks paid attention to that or not, but it's true. If we're going to label it and then fund it, I think the key here, in my view, Miles, tell me if I'm wrong, but the key here is the war on terror has to be funded. And inevitably, this is about government growth and funding and not anything to do with anything else. That's my view.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of the things inside of the Patriot Act and how it kind of trampled the Constitution,
right,
and nobody wants to take it up before the high court to get that settled because, going back to your earlier point about trading freedom for security, and potentially we're even looking at the possibility that there were aspects of the Patriot Act that were used to get some of the surveillance warrants coming out of our good friends at the FBI and the DOJ.
Sure.
The spy on the Trump campaign. So, I mean, again, there are a lot of tentacles inside of the Patriot Act.
Oh, man, there are. But listen, you got people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg sitting on the Supreme Court, and she went on at great length in an interview a few years back talking about specifically how we're one of the youngest countries in the world with the oldest Constitution, and that she references the world's constitutions that were enacted after World War II. That's her marker in time. So she sees our Constitution as being a historic, nonsensical, let's not bother with it, and let's look at... I hear that, and I shriek. She's an unintended consequence.
Unintended consequence, yeah.
Yep, an amazing thing to me. The war on poverty is one of the areas that in education that I'm probably... have to keep myself from getting into a rant over it because I find it diabolically racist. I think that it specifically targeted minorities to hurt them, not to help them. I think it's had a tremendous and dreadful impact on the perception of the average American, forget partisanship, on religion. It's had an impact on our religious organizations, the churches. It's had an impact on how we raise our children. And inevitably, it morphed into how we educate them, which is on this list. The war on poverty was a dreadful failure, and its unintended consequences, we can debate whether they were intended or not, but they were far-reaching, and in my view, they were socially devastating. Miles, am I overstating it?
No, and I've had this argument before about when you think about all the money that we've spent since LBJ started this, and you think of the level of poverty that we have in the country today, you go, we netted out virtually nothing,
right?
No gain. But then our progressive buddies will push back and say, well, think how much worse today would be without it. So,
right. So don't reference the 210 years before it. It's a nonsensical argument. I mean, and frankly, our progressive friends that are not getting a taste of the money, they're looking at strictly through the prism of theoretical ideologies, and it's been an absolute train wreck. It's hurt race relations, but listen, it was targeting the black community.
Absolutely.
And I say targeting, folks, and I don't mean that loosely. it specifically was targeting the black community, and it hurt the black community. It hurt them scholastically. It hurt them financially. It hurt their family. It hurt their faith. I'm just telling you, this. Some of these things are easy because you can sit and measure them now. You can say what was and what is. You can put it on a classic Excel sheet graph, put the numbers out. Folks, you don't need me to do this. You can do it. I don't know whether it was intended or unintended. That's the only debate I have here. What the result of it was is obvious. Will it get better? Yes, it will get better as soon as we as a culture throw that in the dust heap of history, to be somewhat cliche. So in my mind, that's a big one here. But let me move to the next one, because I think it's part and parcel in how they carry that ideology forward to affect everybody. The reinvention of township and community schools as consolidated school districts was sold to our parents as a fiscally money-saving device. And then they build these $60, $70, $80 million monoliths. They're all air-conditioned. Wow, are they nice. Wow, wow, wow. But Ludwig, you're the professor in the family. Scholastics have went up or down from 1970 forward?
Down.
Down.
Budgets have went up.
Budgets have went up. Results have went down. And listen, it's not ideological. You can write it down on paper. You can measure it. You can put it on a line graph. I think it was an unintended consequence. I don't believe that this was some dark spirit. By the way, I do think the war on poverty was specifically mean-spirited and had a dark intent. I don't know that this did or not, Ludwig. I saw your facial expression.
Well, you always say Tip O'Neill says politics are local, and if we take that localism away...
He did do that, and they have done that.
And create a larger group.
They have done that. So if you get on Facebook right now and you get into a debate over policy, be a policy wonk about state policy, you'll have a tough time getting anybody from either side of the aisle to carry a thread on it at any length. If you throw some bombs on a federal level, everybody and their brother wants to argue with you. And by the way, I couldn't stand Tip O'Neill other than two things. Other than I agree with him that all politics is local, and other than he wasn't shrill, he sat down with opposition and said, what can we make out of this? Specifically with Reagan, but not just with Reagan. I wished we had, I didn't agree with him, but I think he's a statesman, to use that term I banter around. Miles, what's your view on schools? Is it okay to be a big consolidated school, or do you prefer small?
Well, so this is an argument I've had with a bunch of progressive buddies. I don't understand why we have a federal Department of Education.
Because we're too stupid. We're too stupid to do it without the elitists from D.C. directing us.
The 31st Amendment created it.
Yeah, I mean, don't the people in Maine have different educational needs than the people in Los Angeles?
Right. They do, unless the goal was to eradicate state rights and local vision and create a monolith of a central government. If that were the goal, then we know what Abe said. The philosophy in the classroom today will be the philosophy of government tomorrow, one generation to the next. The point here is that I submit to you that this was purposeful, that it wasn't an unintended consequence. It was an intended consequence to force folks to get to Lugwood's point. No one's thinking local. You go to a local school board meeting, everyone agrees, even no matter what side of the aisle you're on, most people agree. I'll back off. Most people look at our school system and the results and say there's a problem there, regardless of partisanship. But then you go to a local school board meeting, you'd think that'd be jam-packed. There's nobody there. And you go, well, how I thought you guys really cared. So I think that's the unintended byproduct out of that.
And people didn't intend for this to happen that supported it. Or voted for it, the citizens.
The folks didn't.
Yeah, that's where I think the unintended consequence comes
from. Sure.
I think it was purposely done.
Miles, do you think it was purposely done?
Sure. Yeah.
You must be seeing Brian's cue cards.
On that note.
Listen, folks, we're going to go to break and we'll be right back.
We
career sound income strategies. And baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend-down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
Cool.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Visit discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News.
Four more boys from that Taiwan soccer team were rescued today from the cave, bringing the total to 8. Now, the rescue operation has ended for the day in Thailand. As of right now, we're not hearing about the health of the 8 boys who were rescued. That means there's still 4 boys left in the cave and their coach. Jake Zwig is a former U.S. Navy SEAL involved in rescue operations. He talks about what sort of task it is to get those boys out.
To climb to Mount Everest and back. You've got over 1,000 people on the ground outside of a cave. And, you know, they got to cover 2.5 miles to get them out under the worst conditions in the world.
Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, President Trump will announce his Supreme Court nominee. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee shares what he's hoping for in a candidate.
A constitutionalist, somebody who is pure to the original words and text of the Constitution.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with 4 locals and 1 grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you, and get rewarded.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You are hearing The Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. And we have a nice list of topics to cover yet this episode.
We absolutely do. Listen, folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt. My co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. This is a show special. It is Unintended Consequences. And before we segue away from education, I got to pause for a minute. I would be remiss if I didn't touch on No Child Left Behind / Common Core. By the way, I have a tough time telling the two of them apart, other than there was a $1 billion investment on new books that said essentially the same thing, maybe a little bit less than the first. In my view of it, both of these two things were aimed at funding and selling stuff and not education. Ludwig, I'll go to you because you're in education, you're a professor. Am I just being negative here when I say to me it dumbed folks down? I think that was the byproduct, mm-hmm. but it was about funding and selling stuff. Is that your interpretation?
Yeah, there was multiple corporate people behind these, essentially textbook people and testing and technology people, like Microsoft being a major one who was developing the test for Common Core. And the more the books they could sell and the more tests they could create, the more money they made, and that was the whole purpose of these.
Listen, I've got to be cliche, and then we'll move on from education. The average four-year college graduate this year could not pass an eighth-grade reading, writing, arithmetic book from the 1890s. You can debate me, you can swear at me, but that's a truism. And the idea that we keep doing these social experiments that are aimed at generating money rather than aimed at education, we've got a couple hundred years now to look back on. Ruth Bader Ginsburg wants to look to other countries for constitutions. We've got all kinds of experiments around the world and our own history to draw on, and instead we're off in Never Never Land. Sorry, Mr. Jackson. We're off in Never Never Land doing nonsense to make people rich. Meanwhile, we're doing it at the expense of our future. That's my view of it. I don't know if it's an unintended consequence, but the fact of what it is unquestionable. You're seeing depression in high school and in junior high. You're seeing scholastics fall. I'm telling you, this is an easy, predictable thing. Anyone looking at it closely could have known it up front. The establishment of both parties, this is a good thing. No, it isn't. It's a train wreck. I told you then. I'm telling you now. That's my view of that. Listen, on something totally different, I don't mean to ratchet up the heat, but let's get into the deep end here. White flight and busing are the next on my list. Ludwig, you're not old enough to remember what busing used to mean.
No, I know what it means, but I didn't
know what it meant.
Go through it.
And inevitably, it was swept aside. It was a monstrous train wreck.
I think they just reinvented it called school of choice.
No, school of choice gives you choice.
Yeah.
The school of choice gives you a choice. During busing, they were purposely trying to mix folks, and they would segue them both black and white. They would purposely transfer them off into different areas. Okay, you live here, and normally in a township or community school, this is where you'd go to school, but oh, no, that won't work because we've got our consolidated school systems now in place, and they're huge. We can send people ever which direction. And the Supremes had to step in and said, I think you're done with that experiment. It's failed. It hurt a lot of people. It hurt a generation, and I think we're still reeling from it. Miles, before I move on to white flight, what say you on the topic of busing?
Yeah, no, I think you and I were, that was in our era. I actually remember that because even in the small town of Decatur, we had kids coming over from the other side of town to right. come to our school.
Right. And then there were people from your school that, because of the new redistricting lines, that were going somewhere else. Listen, folks, just to put it in perspective, I was in fifth and sixth grade during the peak of the political debate. It's going to save us. It's going to ratchet down racism. It's going to do all these wonderful things. I got to tell you, the fascinating part about government and the uber left is they, no matter what they, just like socialism in total, they absolutely seem to try to defy human nature. Everything that they advance seems to defy, and it never does, by the way, seems to try to defy human nature. And the result of it is always a predictable train wreck. We would have a lot greater race relations if those folks would get the heck out of the way and let humans be humans.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view of it. But they're so elite that they look down at the unwashed masses, all of us. Oh, no, you need our help. We're going to take care of you. Well, folks, stop it. That's what I'm saying there. A white flight is a tough one. When we look at Detroit, when we look at Chicago, Southside, when we look at areas where there are large populations of black folks that are in economic jeopardy, we can't look at that phenomenon, and it is a phenomenon to me, without looking at most of the things we've talked about yet today, but then also white flight. White flight started in the late 1950s. I could point to Henry Ford, at least in Michigan, and say, look, Henry Ford paid everybody the exact same wage at a time when nobody did that. He brought them up from all over the place, from down south, dramatically increased the black population in the state of Michigan, but specifically Detroit. And the result of the ongoing social experiments from the government, in my view, and other forces, that was a powder keg. So you had the race riots of 43, you had the race riots of 67, and 68 didn't exactly calm down. And between all of those, you had white flight. And the bottom line is that the folks that remained were the folks that didn't have the financial ability to leave. That's just the truth of it. And so my brother-in-law, we're making a trip through Chicago in the 90s. It's beautiful in Chicago. And he says, we should have never left as a people. And I think he's right. And I think the unintended consequence is that everybody in total now is paying a price for that. That's my view of it. It's a complicated topic. Just so you know, folks, I'm not trying to simplify it. It's really a complicated topic.
We paid the price when we bailed out Detroit with their bankruptcy.
Well, you're paying the price there, but listen, forget the financial side of it for a minute. I don't want to have any American be without an opportunity. I think opportunity is what our founders fought for. And you've heard me say several years ago, if you were a 17-year-old standing on the side of the street in any major city in America, and you're functionally illiterate, I don't care which race is, you're functionally illiterate, you cannot fill out a job application, you got a pretty bleak look on opportunity, and logic says you're probably going to be angry. I think that's a byproduct of all of these things that both government did and society did for all kinds of different reasons, but we've reached a point in our history where we ought to be able to pause as a society and learn from that. Push government back and be human to each other is what I'm saying. Yep. And folks, just if you're curious, no, I'm not being squishy on this. I'm passionate on this topic. I am. That's what I'm saying. Miles, what say you?
One thing that I find interesting about when you made reference to the urban areas like Chicago.
Right.
Keep in mind one little fun fact, and I'm not trying to be pro-Republican here.
Right.
And more, I'm trying to bring out the power of government. Keep in mind, the last Republican mayor of the city of Chicago left office in 1931.
Right, right. And in Michigan, it was 1961 or early 60s in Detroit. And up until then, and again, I'm with you. I'm not trying to be partisan here or point to ideologies, but that is all part and parcel of a great problem. So now when you look to Detroit, back then, by the way, it used to be almost entirely Republican on the City Council of Detroit. What did they do when his emergency manager withdrew from Detroit? The very first thing that they did was vote themselves a raise, the Democratic City Council. And you go, really? You didn't get anything from any of this? Honest? That was it? This is what you thought your first act should be? Once you got rid of the emergency manager? Forget your thoughts, folks, on what the emergency manager, constitutional or not, was it an overreach? Forget all that. The very first thing that they did when that man got withdrew was vote themselves a raise. And then you go, I wonder what's wrong with Detroit. Well, come on. That's a fascinating thing. Miles, I exactly agree with you on that topic. It is part and parcel of where we're going now, unless we pause as a culture, stop the rancor, get rid of the identity politics nonsense. I watched some moron the other day on
Screwball.
Thank you. I stand corrected. That went on and on and on, talking about all the new pronouns. And I'm going, is this person real? I'm wondering, was that a joke? Was it real? Folks, we've got to go to a break, though, and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family-owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. Still got to continue where we left off.
We absolutely do, folks. Listen, this is a special. We're looking at unintended consequences. I am Mike Hewitt. My co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wieden. Say it.
Dorsky.
It was an enigma. Different topic. Cash for clunkers, fellas. Now, listen, we've touched on this a few times on the show over the years, but if we're looking for unintended consequences, we cannot miss cash for clunkers because it was a major series of unintended consequences. I was in the business. And watched it up close and personal, saw the numbers. It was staggering, the results of it. And anybody, regardless of party, that says, yes, I voted for that, slap yourself right smack in the middle of the forehead. You need it hard, because that was idiocy. Ludwig just slaps himself, folks. Miles, what's your opinion of cash for clunkers from the outside looking in?
It's right up there with global warming. It was a way for the geniuses of the universe and government decided, hey, I know how we can get all these fuel non-efficient cars off the street. We'll just pay people to turn them in.
So here's what you had, folks. You got to envision this. You had essentially two paths of trades. You had folks dragging in. The caveat to the rule, the way the rules were set up, the car had to run. The vehicle had to run. It had to get worse than X gas mileage. And so folks were literally fixing them up the street and then driving them across the property line to the dealerships. They're getting, I think it was $2,500. By the way, the internal concern of the dealerships, just so you can imagine this, you were dealing with significant amounts of money for the medium-sized and up dealers. They're looking at $2,500 a throw on average for these vehicles, times 100 and 200, whatever numbers of cars are selling a month. They didn't believe that they'd ever get the money, and there was a big hiccup in getting the money. It had almost put some of them out of business, and it was, for the internal debate that went on with this, really magnified a lack of trust between corporate America, small business specifically, and our federal government. There was extreme distrust. And inevitably, they did get funded, not in the way they were promised, not in the time they were promised, etc., but they did. But here's what they did. So you got the cars that can barely make it. They're worth $2,500. And then you had a lot of folks that were bringing in their cars that, frankly, were worth more. And they were having them destroyed. That's what they did. So here's what they do. They take a drill, and they drill a hole in the bottom, and all of the materials inside the engine would run out into the ground. And this is good for the environment. How? Listen, it was environmental craziness. You had a huge batteries being dumped into the huge surge of them all at one time. Batteries being dumped, oils being dumped, radiator fluid being dumped. Folks, it was an environmental nightmare. It truly was. Then you had the unintended consequence part. This is why I'm bringing this whole thing up. So the folks that the Uber crazy left in the establishment in total say that they're there to protect. That's the lower middle class incomes and lower. Waitresses, waiters, wait staff in total, folks that are young married couple with a kid, they had a heck of a time getting a second car for a decade. The prices on used vehicles soared because we destroyed a whole boatload of them. We destroyed millions of cars nationally. And all of a sudden you're 23, 24 with a brand new husband, brand new wife, maybe a child, and you can't buy a car to save your life. Folks, it was insanity. I was there firsthand. So I'm not reading you this from the Washington Post. I watched it up close and personal. Insanity on steroids. Both parties voted for it. Both parties, shame on y'all. Shame. Because it hurt everybody, especially the environment.
The used cars market is still
reeling from it. Still reeling.
They can't buy cars fast enough. They can't find them.
Used to be a young couple would end up with grandma or grandpa's or aunt's or somebody's 8 or 9 year old Buick LeBaron, and they go, "Well, it's kind of a boat, but grandma and grandpa, they did all the oil changes. They kept this thing perfect." That car didn't go to the young couple. That car went to the salvage guy, and they squashed it into a box after they drained all the fluids out into the earth. You go, really? This is what you thought was a good idea? This made sense to you? And by the way, to your initial point on that, now we're looking at what's selling in the United States, and it's all the SUVs. It's all the big, exact vehicles that they were seeking to destroy. Because once again, they try to control human nature. They can't even control themselves. Nutty people. Speaking of nutty people, Dodd-Frank Act and the Community Reinvestment Act. I'm telling you, 2008, we watched the mortgage world crumble. And G.W. Bush took it on the forehead. He did. He got pounded. So here's a fella, like him or not, I get it, Shrub. I understand it. But this guy at one point had an 80% approval rating. And when he left, he had to leave out the back door of the White House. And what really poked him in the eyeball was the housing market bubble. But let me tell you, the problem with that notion is that the Community Reinvestment Act was enacted in the 70s. There were a couple different versions of the Dodd-Frank Act. All of them were aimed at political mortgaging. Think about what I said. They were aimed at political mortgaging. So you can buy a house with nothing down, and it doesn't matter whether you have enough money to make the monthly payments. Doesn't matter whether you have a history of payment, a payment history. So there used to be the three C's. Credit, collateral, and capacity. Oh, no. That's very racist of you. I can't believe you'd say that. But the result of it is a lot of those folks lost their homes. Those are the ones that were exactly, specifically hurt by this. Folks, the progressive mindset's a lot of work.
I think even the other unintended consequence of this is it didn't just affect the lower-income people. It affected a lot of self-employed and even higher-income. Because during this time, especially the 5 to 10 years right before it, the ARM, adjustable rate mortgage, was the big fad, and it was all-time lows, and people were remortgaging their houses on these, And when this started, they'd go from a 4.5% ARM to 12.5%, 18.5% all of a sudden. That tripled their mortgage payments.
Sure.
Then people in construction especially, we stopped new construction because people couldn't afford them.
Right.
They lost their businesses, therefore
sure.
losing their house.
Sure.
They tried to bring the lower income up by offering them housing they couldn't afford, and they destroyed everybody.
It rippled across the entire market and in areas that even had nothing to do with real estate.
Sorry, I've done a lot of research on this thing because it's our Great Depression of our time. And
well, was it a recession?
The only thing that kept it out of a depression is the Social Security and all those other things.
Here's a fun factoid. The actual Great Depression had outrageous unemployment rates for 6 months.
Yeah.
And by the way, they told the real numbers back then. We lie now.
Yeah.
Well, just to tell you, we lie now. At their peak, it was about 25% unemployment. That's huge. That's almost like Europe. Yeah, I did say that. That was 6 months. But for the rest of the decade, it was an entire decade under FDR that we were stuck in a recession at about 10%,
yep.
which is where France typically is, I'm just telling you. About it took a world war to save the country, and FDR walked away with the credit. I'm going, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
This guy had us languishing in a recession, talking about growing the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court didn't agree with him. And this guy's a hero? To who? I'm sorry, I won't go down that path, but to me, it's an amazing trick sleight of hand.
Oh.
Miles, what is your opinion of the Dodd-Frank Act and the Community Reinvestment Act?
I got to say something positive about our Democrat friends here. There was an official in the second term of Clinton
right,
who actually came forward and predicted what occurred in 08 and said, hey, we got to put the brakes on this.
Right.
She goes up before Congress to start telling Congress this, and Greenspan, who was the Fed chair at the time, laughed it off and said, go away.
Yep.
Basically, they just buried it.
Yep.
Mortgages are safe. There's no problem. If you ever really want a good story about this, watch the movie The Big Short. It explains how we really got to where we did.
But was it intended or unintended?
Unintended. Nobody really believed mortgages could fail. No one.
Yeah. Anybody that's ever did any lending, I spent a little bit in finance in the automotive industry. Anyone that's ever did any lending knows that if you defy the three C's, collateral, commitment, capacity, if you defy those three C's, any one of them, anybody can tell you what the outcome will be. Mm-hmm. It says you can write it in stone. It's a matter of fact. It doesn't defy human nature. It actually measures the human we're talking about. Doesn't see race. It doesn't see any of that. It just tells you if these three C's are defied, that loan, odds are, is going to flip upside down.
Yep.
So when you do an entire nation of that, oh my goodness, is that predictable, folks. Listen, I got to tell you, please do me a favor. Visit us at the Mike Hewitt Show. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Miles, Ludwig, Brian, but mostly, folks, thank you very, very much, and we'll see you soon.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is to announce his Supreme Court nominee pick tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We're hearing the president is still working the phones today, primarily seeking input about two judges, Brett Kavanaugh and Thomas Hardiman. That's according to people familiar with the situation. Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana reminds us the one thing that the Supreme Court is supposed to do.
The purpose of the United States Supreme Court is not to make policy. Does it make policy sometimes? Inevitably, in deciding a case. But the purpose of the U.S. Supreme Court is to interpret the law.
The Thailand cave rescue operation has suspended for the night, with 4 more boys freed, bringing the total to 8. Now there's still 4 more boys and the soccer coach to rescue. Dr. Mark Siegel joined Fox News to talk about some of the things the boys will be struggling with.
They're going to have flashbacks, my opinion. They're going to have derealization, periods of disorientation.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
FBI agent Peter Strzok will testify before a congressional committee this week. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Strzok's lawyer saying that the agent will appear before the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday. He gave 11 hours of closed-door testimony to Congress last week. Strzok, working on investigations into Hillary Clinton's emails and Russian meddling in the 2016 election, and indicating in text to a co-worker that he had an anti-Trump bias. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Over the weekend, while dining in Kentucky, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was confronted at a restaurant by protesters. Former presidential candidate and former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, Herman Cain, says Democrats better watch it when it comes to the upcoming elections.
I believe it's backfiring not only because of the harassment and encouragement, but, Stuart, is also backfiring with respect to the Democrat outrageous rhetoric.
You're listening to USA Radio News.